This episode of Cognitive Dissonance is brought to you by our patrons. You fucking rock. Be advised that this show is not for children, the faint of heart, or the easily offended. The explicit tag is there for a reason.
Recording live from Glory Hole Studios in Chicago and beyond, this is Cognitive Dissonance. Every episode we blast anyone who gets in our way. Go ahead and open the bottle, Cecil. No, don't worry about it. I already did.
I got
the mics are live, it's but okay. Go ahead.
I did it quietly. Good? Nobody fucking heard it.
I heard
Just
it.
Just keep
I heard
going.
It in my heart.
In Chicago and beyond.
This is Cognitive Dissonance. Every episode, we blast anyone who gets in our way. We bring critical thinking, skepticism, and irreverence to any topic that makes the news, makes it big, or makes us mad. It's skeptical, it's political, and there is no welcome mat. This is episode 588 of Cognitive.
Got it right this time. Good for you.
I did. Was it wrong last time?
It was wrong. I don't know if you heard Ian correct
not
you.
Yet, no.
Oh yeah, it was good too. He,
damn it.
He not,
Ian.
Yeah, you know, he's incompetent most of the time, but he can add one to the
prior number. I don't think I've made a mistake in like 100 episodes.
I've got a
99%
exaggeration. You fucked up multiple times in 100 episodes.
Really?
Yeah, man.
Well, I don't remember it.
Yeah, man.
And if I don't remember it, it didn't happen.
Yeah, man, it happened.
Cecil. All right. Oh, I just remember the things that happened. I'm Cecil.
No, I just look at the notes correctly.
Well, they're not up on the board.
Oh, okay.
All right.
That's all excuses.
It is excuses. And I'm going to write this one down. I need these, Cecil. Don't take this from me. It's all I have.
The reason why you didn't find him is because he's in water. You can't find somebody.
Well, it was September 11th.
This story comes from the Friendly Atheist blog over at Patheos. Psychic medium Thomas John fell for a trap created by a group of skeptics.
This
is great. And this is interesting because I don't watch like network TV or anything anymore. And I haven't for so long.
Me too, man.
That when I read this, I was like, holy shit, these guys are still around. This is one of those TV psychic medium dudes. And I thought, holy shit, man, how fucking late 90s, early 2000s are you?
Seriously, remember John Edward or Edwards?
Yeah.
I don't know if it was Edward or Edwards. One of them's a politician.
One of them's a psychic.
But, or as a spiritual medium or whatever. He had the Long Island medium for a while.
Yeah.
It was on TV. There's a bunch of people. There's a show that I've seen where there's a woman who looks like 100% like she probably worked at Spencer's Gifts back in the day. She walks around a house now, and this is on those, so there's the Ghost Channel, which is, I think it's Travel Channel or maybe Discovery America or something it's called. But anyway, it's like a whole channel where there's like literally ghost show after ghost show after ghost show.
Jesus Christ.
And one of them is this woman walks around the house and she teams up with this guy who's I'm an old fucking detective over here. Honey, look at me.
Are you
serious? Fucking old detective.
I'm the grizzled, hard-nosed. Yeah.
The grizzled old detective. He questions people about the house's past, and she walks around and has a fucking LSD trip telling you what happened there. And she says, oh, it's a big scary guy choking a kid or whatever. And then he finds out, oh, there was a big scary guy who choked a kid in that house. And then they meet up at the end to do their reveal where she has a fucking guy who fucking draws the funniest fucking pictures of shit she sees. It's the dumbest fucking show ever, but it exists, right? And it's all based on this Christian mythology. It's all of it's so deeply entrenched in evangelical and Christian mythology. It's all, the only thing that can save you is Jesus. You need to get the house blessed. They never turn around and be like, hey man, you know what you need to do? You need to go find some ancient Tibetan fucking monk and do, no, it's never, you know, I got the knife or whatever from Golden Child or anything like that. It's 100% Christian mythology.
You have to wonder, like, in their minds, how did these problems get solved 2050 years ago, right? Was there just no answers? Like, I don't know. Jesus hasn't swung by yet, so it's just full of ghosts.
The only thing we can do is send him into pigs. That's all
right.
Actually, they can't even do that because that's what Jesus did.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So
humanity's existed for even by creationist idiotic standards, humanity's existed for 6,000 years, and for 4,000 of them, they just had no answer.
Fucking twiddle their thumbs. They just have to deal with fucking
ghosts.
Aunt fucking Sally being possessed every third day
or
whatever.
How crowded would the world be if you believed in this ghost bullshit?
Such a stupid.
Ghost bullshit is the dumbest bullshit.
It's the dumbest bullshit.
It's seriously. There are 7 billion living people on the planet. People are dying all the time. You have the entire history of the human population, which has died. And they just go back like, about 100 years, you know?
Right.
Oh, there's ghosts from times we have records for.
Exactly.
Right?
It's never, I'm talking to somebody who literally, and it's also they're talking to them too. That's the other thing.
They speak the same language.
Always speak the same language. Remember when Ramtha was channeling a fucking something from 50,000 years ago, Atlantis or whatever, and you're just thinking, what the fuck? How the fuck do you speak the same fucking language? And that's the same thing.
Maybe they both learned dolphin.
They just, it's all squeaks. It's like, but anyway, that's always the same language. There's no language barrier. And it's also the most boring fucking idea of what the afterlife is in the history.
I
mean, of all the things, the atheist version, when you're just done and you're done and that's it, is so much superior to I have to sit in this dumb fucking house forever.
Yeah, right. I get to be like a semi-transparent only visible on film orb that might be able to roll a pencil if I tried really hard. Like if I'm a ghost and I work out like the fucking Rock, I can knock over a candelabra during a thunderstorm.
Once in a while you pull a book out of a bookcase. But it's so funny because their idea is that these ghosts just inhabit these places and they just stay there. But then they're also kind of on loop. So they're just like this.
Yes.
They're like this idea where they always come back and they always recreate the death, or they always come in this room and they sit and get real sad on the bed or whatever. And it's always the same thing over and over and over.
It's
such a silly, dumb idea of how the universe works.
Right.
That you know, your consciousness stays around and then is stuck on fucking like backmasking for the rest of eternity. It's like stupid. It's really,
you gotta like some living person has to then release them back into the wild of the afterlife or whatever.
Or shake them up once in a while and say, oh, do you still love your husband? Of course they fucking still love. What the fuck? What kind of dumb question is that? And this story is essentially the same thing. It's this guy preying off of, and this is, they use this word, this term in here called grief vampire.
Yeah, it's
and it's great, right? And it's really so true because they prey off of these people who literally all they want in the world is to connect with this thing that they loved, whether it's a dog or a person or whatever, but it's gone and it's only available in their memory and they want to connect to it. And they just want to reach out to it and they just want to touch it just for a second, right? And these people provide this bullshit for a fee and they fucking bilk people who genuinely just love something and want to love it more.
Yeah. And they are not letting these people do the work that's necessary to fucking move on.
Yeah.
You know, grief counseling is an effective way to manage your life after a tragic loss, right?
Yeah.
But fucking psychic mediums are not.
No.
Psychic mediums are a way to hold on to something and to never fucking, because I will tell you, like, if my wife died and I thought I could talk to her, I would never want to stop talking to her. I would never, ever, not one day, I'd save up all of my money and spend it as soon
100%.
As paycheck to paycheck
100%.
To try to always maintain that connection. And every moment I didn't have that connection, all that would be on my mind is how to get that back.
Yep.
And they fucking know it, right? It's a recurring business.
Sure.
And in this example, it's like he's supposedly talking to kids.
Yeah.
Kids, people who are even like their fucking brains aren't even fully developed. Their ability to reason is not there yet, right? Kids are the easy, it's like going after fucking dementia patients, right?
Seriously, it's stealing candy from a baby,
man. You can't have a more vulnerable population.
It is, and it's easy.
Yeah.
It's easy.
How much of a tragedy is it when a kid loses a fucking parent, right? They're losing not just someone they love, but they're losing the person that provides them with everything.
They're losing
their entire
guiding figure.
World.
A guiding figure, someone who they look to for mentorship in the world.
Right. And so to prey on that,
to prey on that and to try to, it's so fucking crass.
It's
and
fucking
ugly.
Vile.
Holy shit.
Vile as fuck. And to be that person and to look yourself in the mirror every day and be like, I'm doing good work. And you know, you're fucking lying to these people. In this story, they talk about how this guy, his name is Thomas John. He used to have a show where he was a cabbie, where he was a psychic medium cabbie.
Right.
And he would drive around and he would talk to these people in the back seat and he would tell them about their life. But what they don't tell you, and when these people fucking actually did the investigative journalism to find out, they fucking talked to the station. The station's like, yeah, they filled out a bunch of stuff. A lot of those people were actors. They were just, it's just a fucking act. It's a fucking lie, man.
It's made for TV.
They're fucking lying to you, making you think that this shit is real because they want you to fucking watch it. Because if you knew it was fake, you wouldn't fucking watch it. So they're lying to you every week. And they're saying it's reality television.
Right. And there's nothing real about it. It's as scripted as fucking anything.
Scripted as fuck.
Right.
Or they just added it down into the one part timer. Right. The two or three times that a medium, a fucking cold reader can fucking once in a while get a little hot, right? They fucking once in a while pick something, and that's the thing that cold readers do it without editing, right? So a cold reader will walk into a room and they'll do that shit without editing because they'll make you remember and they'll remind you of the times that they were right.
Yep.
And they'll emphasize those times and they will move past all the misses as quickly as possible. And you generally, when you hear this, you might walk out of the room and think there was no misses or there was a few misses, but you know, they were just,
right.
it was just trying to get them in the right ballpark. That, you know, they make these misses seem like they're hits.
Yeah, they make it seem like they're narrowing a funnel, right?
It's amazing.
What they're doing is starting with the most general information and then they're seeing how you respond and then they narrow the funnel and they narrow the funnel and they narrow the funnel. And now their precision is confused with the size of the funnel.
Yeah.
It's fucking nonsense. I love this story because the skeptics were like, all right, great. We're going to take like 6 kids and 3 of them will be ours. They'll be plants.
Yeah.
And then we're going to feed your producers this bullshit information.
Bullshit information.
And just in case, because I want to be really clear, and you made this point, but I just want to emphasize it. These guys fucking know they're lying, right? Yeah. This is not a case where somebody has fooled themselves into thinking that they're psychic, right?
Yeah.
I think that happens, Cecil. I think there are some people who are naturally good at reading other people. They learn the skills of cold reading sort of
without knowing that they did it. Yeah.
So they're not sure. And people respond and they get the feedback, the positive feedback of that call and response.
I think you're right too.
This is not that case.
But I also think that anybody who makes it really big knows they're lying. I think anybody who makes 100%. It really big knows they're lying. Anybody who makes it big enough to be on a television show knows they're lying.
I couldn't agree more.
You can't look me in the face and say they don't know they're
right.
lying.
I more meant like your Uncle Seth, your Uncle Phil, or even the psychic down the road.
The chick you met at Lollapalooza who fucking did your tarot cards.
Yes. Yep.
That guy, that gal, those people, they believe themselves.
Yes.
But there is a level at which you start to make money off this and start to really, and especially—
and you start to grift, bro.
You start to grift. And the grift is easy to see, and they basically fed this producer because these people go out and find out about you. That's how they know your fucking dad died, man. It's because it's fucking easy to find out public record. So they find out and they don't tell us how they did it, which is great because I want them to keep busting these people.
Yes.
In this story, they go out of their way to say, we're not going to tell you exactly how we fucking fed this producer because we're going to use it in the future. And you're like, fucking great. Keep doing it over and over. It's never going to cause a dent, but at least there's going to be something you can point to when your family member comes to you and says, have you seen this guy?
Yep. Yep. And the thing is, like, if you are tempted to say that's mean, just remember, if it's not a scam, it wouldn't work.
Yeah, it wouldn't work.
Right? It would not work. If it wasn't a scam, you'd be like, wait, why are you telling me all this shit?
Yeah.
What the fuck? I don't need that. Don't tell it. Like, if it wasn't a scam, it could not work.
Yeah.
This only works. You can only get played when you are getting caught playing other people.
If it wasn't a scam, he would walk in and say, you are here to trick me.
Right.
He would know that they're there to trick me instead of being willingly to take, he's willing to take hundreds of dollars from children and their parents for a Zoom consult call to talk to their dead parents. And there's a picture of this
Zoom.
So
gross.
There's a picture of this Zoom call that's in this article. That is, this guy is on the upper right. Now, they call him grief vampires. That guy looks like a grief zombie to me. He does not look like a grief vampire. He looks like He looks like the guy who's in the middle of eating another human being when you kick the door open in the zombie movie. And he just turns out, he's like, blah, blah, and his gut's all like another mouth or something. Like, that's what he looks like.
You know how you know he's not really a vampire? Every vampire is sexy.
Yeah.
There's nothing sexy about this guy. Looks like a grief sloth. What he does.
He looks like a guy who just, and I fucking know that Zoom calls are a series of pictures, right? Yeah, so right. They've clearly
bad still, right?
Chose this bad still. I don't know. But genuinely from this still, could you imagine? This guy looks like fucking Eeyore the psychic, you know? It just looks it looks terrible. But this guy he's essentially stealing from children.
Yeah.
He's stealing from their parents, but he's stealing from children. He's trying to convince these children that their parents are talking to him. And you know, they're going to ask the same questions that everybody wants to know. Like, how's dad doing? Does he still love me? Does he still remember me? You know, like all this stuff. It's so sad. And it's so predatory.
It's incredible.
And I can't love it enough when these people get fucking found out. I can't love it enough. It's like just the tiniest bit of justice makes this worthwhile.
The thing is, like, when these guys get found out, they should go to jail.
Yeah.
It's fraud.
It's fraud.
It's fucking
fraud.
You're
absolutely right.
And
you're
it makes me fucking crazy that they don't go to jail.
Yeah.
And I will say, one thing that we need to do is we need to start paying these people their psychic bullshit fees. We need to start paying these people by wire transfer. Because then it can be wire fraud, right?
Yeah.
If and the government gets people on wire fraud all the time. If you accept money via electronic transfer for fraudulent purposes, they don't have to get you on the fraud that you committed prior to that. Except they can get you on the wire fraud. So we need to bust these people and pay them electronically.
Yeah.
And then fucking show up on their door with some fucking handcuffs and put these motherfucking hucksters and charlatans and thieves and fraudsters in jail. Think about the emotional fucking damage this would do to a kid.
Yeah. Fuck them up forever.
I talked to my dad and they said this thing and now I can never,
I can never let go.
Right.
I can never move past my dad not being here.
Wouldn't you always be looking for that next psychic who could put you in touch with your fucking mom or dad?
Fucking A, man. Fucking A.
Because I would. 100%.
100%. Yeah. Once in a while, I'll have dreams about my mom or crazily about a cat that died. I'll have a dream where they're alive and I'm able to be with them and touch them or whatever. And it's when I wake up, I'm always like, fuck, I got to grieve a little bit again.
Right.
I got to grieve a little bit again. And that's just my stupid brain telling me that I was connected to them.
Yeah.
Right. That's my stupid brain being like, hey, while you're sleeping, I did this thing.
Yeah.
I hope you like it. Oh, you don't? Because now you got to grieve when you wake up.
Yeah, but seriously. I'm a cruel, cruel dream.
But seriously though, there was one recently where I was with my mom and I'm not going to tell you the substance of the dream, but I remember hugging her in the dream. Yeah. Right. And then I wake up and I'm like, fuck, my mom's dead.
Right.
Like, and my mom's been dead for years.
Right.
And it's like, and it's another wound. Can you imagine having that conversation with somebody that, you know, mom's still, you know, able to talk to you and you're just like, fuck, mom, mom's still able to talk to me, but she's lonely.
Right.
But she's lonely now. She can't talk to me all the time. She can only talk to me when I pay this guy.
Yep.
You know, like what does that do to you?
Dude, it would feel like having incredibly intermittent access to a phone.
Yeah.
That you could reach out and call the person you love and miss the most.
Yeah.
You know, and to hand that to somebody who's in the middle of forming their ideas about who they are.
Oh, God.
And then doing that to a kid.
Ugh.
Like, it's so fucking mean.
It's ghoulish.
We got to put these guys in jail.
You have to do it.
Nothing else is going to stop this shit.
And it goes on all the time and there's no protections against
None.
There's been people who've long suspected that there was some sort of an interface, yet to be defined, an interface between what's being injected in these shots and all of the 5G towers.
Sister, it comes from 4WWL, and it looks like it's a CBS maybe affiliate or ABC affiliate.
New Orleans, I guess.
Out of New Orleans. So I'm in God's hands. People give their reasons for and against getting the vaccine. And I actually just wanted to read, Cecil, what the people said.
Let me get to that.
These are just some quotes people had for why they chose not to get the vaccine. I'm very health conscious, one woman said. Again, I believe in holistic health and it's natural. I live my life through the grace of God. That's who put me on this earth. I read that and I grabbed this story, Cecil, because
everything wrong with a supernatural worldview.
Right. Exactly. Yeah.
This person, and I want to give this person some credit. They are health conscious. And I've met people like this, and they think about their health and they make constant decisions about their health and about their body and about what they put in their body. And the problem is that they've never been given the tools to make good decisions and to weed out good information from bad information, right? So they are people that are, by and large, people who would espouse these views, in my experience. They're people who really are actually concerned with their health, and they are well-read in the same way that the limo driver in Demon Haunter World Chapter 1 is well-read, right?
Right.
But they're read up on a whole bunch of, you know, twigs and berries and bullshit and crystals and, you know, psychic healing crystal balls. Like, it's just a bunch of fucking bullshit.
Right.
You know? And then they just fucking put the cherry on top of the sundae with the, I'm in God's hands.
Yeah.
And you read that and you're like, fuck, you're in Delta's hands.
Yeah.
That's whose hands you're in now. You're in fucking Delta's hands.
Yeah. And I just want to applaud the people who've been naming these variants for ruining business after business. You know what I mean? Like, first it's Corona, now it's Delta.
Right.
They just keep on, and don't get me wrong, Delta can burn in a lake of fire. I mean, it's the worst.
Oh, I was thinking about the faucet company. Yeah. I was thinking, I didn't even think about the airplane company.
Yeah.
I was thinking about like a Delta, turn on the Corona
faucet.
Turn
on the Corona. Yeah, so, but there's a bunch of other quotes in here, and they're all just really, you know, one of them says, I'm more concerned about the infertility and other issues that can come along down the road. I feel like you should be able to choose if you want to get it, and I don't feel like it should be shoved down our throats. We have a real problem in this country with balancing freedom and safety.
Yeah.
We do it all the time. We fuck it up all the time. Guns is a perfect example of us terribly balancing freedom and safety. We do this a lot in this country. Personal freedoms outweigh public safety. They just do very often in our country.
America.
And that's how it works.
Yep.
And this is a perfect example of personal freedoms outweighing public safety yet again.
Yep.
There's nothing in this. Like, the thing is what they don't get and what they don't, since they don't understand the science, they seem to think literally anything can happen from the vaccine entering them. They don't understand that the scientists know what's going in you and what can happen. And there's people that talk about how it's going to change your DNA. They don't understand how things work. There's people talking about infertility. Again, they don't understand how things work. They don't understand how any of this stuff is affecting you. What they think is anything I can think up is what can happen to
me. Yeah.
And so they are scaring themselves into not getting this thing. The outcome of you getting the vaccine could maybe have some long-term side effect. There's a possibility, right?
Sure,
we don't know.
Hasn't been around that long, so it's possible.
Very slim chance. Tiny.
Deeply slim.
Minuscule chance.
Right.
There has been some side effects from the Johnson & Johnson vaccine, for instance.
Yeah.
In the most minute, tiny amounts, there's been like six people in a million have had a problem with it.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, absolutely. But the chances, not just of Corona, and COVID has sort of went through our country a little bit. And people have been like, man, I survived this long. What's the big deal? Delta is another thing.
Delta may as well be a new disease.
It's another thing. It is the viral load's a lot larger. People that are vaccinated are able to get it. And the problem is that we are in this position now where Delta, where Corona has gone through these places and these people feel like, I'm fine. I shook a bunch of hands last year. I'm fine.
Yep.
And so now Delta's coming through and it's hitting all these rural places that people were far enough away from each other before where it really didn't matter. But now you look at all these rural places are getting to be fucking raging hotspots. And the places that are gonna, you know, that are vaccinated still are, they're peaking. They're going up.
Yep.
But they're not having the same kind of death rate that some of these other places are because this stuff is absolutely, it's just killer.
Yeah, the Delta, I mean, I was listening to something today. I was listening to a news story today and a respiratory disease specialist said, this might be the most contagious respiratory disease on the planet. We don't know the R-naught number for Delta, but it's not what the Wuhan strain was, man.
Yeah.
It's vastly, vastly higher. They're looking at with Delta, a thousandfold increase in the amount of virus replicating and available in the nose and in the throat and in the mouth.
Right.
And one of the reasons I was listening to a thing, like one of the, they were saying one of the reasons that people do get sometimes breakthrough infections, even if they're vaccinated, where they do get sick even, is because it replicates faster than your body recognizes it.
Yeah.
It's a big fucking deal.
Yeah, man.
And to be like, yeah, I'm going to put my fucking faith in God's hands. Man, if you get the vaccine, you might still get sick. Well, you know what? Getting a vaccine for measles, this is doesn't mean that you will not get measles and reproduce measles and shed measles. What the vaccine against measles does is similar, actually, although it's better because measles is actually less terrible.
Less terrible.
Delta. Yeah. But it's possible to have measles, but you just don't know it.
Yeah.
Right? And if everybody is vaccinated against measles in a population and I catch measles, but I don't know it because I don't get sick from it, and then I pass it to you, but you know what? You're vaccinated too, and you don't get sick from it, then no harm, no foul.
Yeah.
Right? The problem is then when it moves to that person who's unvaccinated.
Yeah.
That's where it runs into a fucking problem. That's where we need the fucking herd immunity situation.
And the vaccines for the kids aren't here yet.
No, 20% of our population is ineligible for the vaccine by age right now. One in five. 20% of our population is ineligible for the fucking vaccine right now. And they're going back to school in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
At least in our area.
Yeah.
They go back to school mid-August. And holy shit.
Yeah.
And there are people, well, it's in God's hands.
Yeah.
Like, the kids are going to go back to school. They're going to fucking catch this thing. They're going to, maybe they get sick, maybe they don't, but they'll fucking spread that shit.
Yeah. And they have parents at home.
There's no reason to think they won't.
And they probably have, some of them have unvaccinated parents at home.
And grandparents and immune compromised friends of their parents. Yeah. And like, the idea that we are just putting this in God's hands.
Well, and then
God doesn't give a shit, or he wouldn't have given us Delta.
Well, and then we're at this point now where we're just saying, well, I'm done with it.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, well, cool. You're done with it. That's great. But like it's not done with us.
Bro, if you think God cares about, think about your God for a minute. I do want to point this out. Think about your fucking God. If you're like, I'll put that in God's hands. God doesn't give a shit about 600,000 people that already died.
Yeah.
God doesn't give a shit about 4 million people in India.
Yeah.
God doesn't give a shit about so many. Why would he give a shit about you?
Yeah.
What fucking evidence do you have that your God wants to look after you special?
What makes you so special?
Right?
Yep. Yeah.
Get the fuck out of here.
And there's another story. Nearly one quarter of white evangelicals refused to get the COVID-19 vaccine. You know, the way this thing is tearing through these communities, and you know, there's gonna be a lot of deaths, I think, from this. It's starting out. We're at right now where we were in October.
Yep.
You know, we're at right now where we were in October, and it's gonna start getting worse. And the winter was terrible.
Yep.
And this is the middle of summer.
Yep. And there's no white knight coming this time.
Right.
That's the big deal. Like last time, case counts were 250,000 a day, but the white knight of vaccination, we went from nothing to something.
It's the worst because we could stop this, and we could have stopped this a while ago. Yep. If we had enough vaccinations and there wasn't people that were just kept turning this into a new mutation.
Yep.
We could have easily done it.
And there's no reason to think that Delta's the last mutation.
No, absolutely
right?
not. Absolutely
there's already
not.
Lambda here.
Yeah.
So you've got to do your part.
Yeah.
Nearly a quarter of white evangelicals are not getting this. This is going to devastate those communities. And I do wonder what their response will be. I wonder if there will be a reckoning, a moment of great realization if the death count is high enough.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I hope that there is. Like at this point, my optimism that we will just suddenly snap our fingers and do the right thing and, you know, vaccination rates will just climb on their own is evaporated.
Yeah.
That's gone.
Yeah.
Right. So my hope honestly is that this targets populations that have made targets is the wrong word, but this affects disproportionately populations that have made bad choices. And I hope this causes a reckoning, an internal reconsideration of the way that they've come to understand the reality.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, we're Christian. That's what we're about. I consider us I've said it before, like the Taliban or Al-Qaeda. I do consider us that. We're technically the same thing. We are, just like they are hot fighting. I said it before, but they're fighting a holy war. We are fighting a holy war for Christianity, for our race and for our people. That's what we're fighting for.
This story comes from Axios.com. DC officer, it was clear the terrorists perceived themselves to be Christian. So this comes from DC Metropolitan Police Officer Daniel Hodges, who testified on Tuesday for the House Select Committee on the January 6th terrorist attack on our Capitol. And I want to read some of the things that he said. The sea of people was punctuated throughout by flags, mostly variations of American flags and Trump flags. There was Gadsden flags. It was clear the terrorists perceived themselves to be Christian. I saw the Christian flag directly to my front, and another had, Jesus is my savior, Trump is my president. Another, Jesus is king. It is not possible and not useful, and we shouldn't try to pull apart the white nationalist movement from the Christian nationalist movement.
Right.
They are one in the
They're
same.
They're one in the same. You're right.
They are seeking, I think, to maintain their hold on American political power and American economic power. They know they're losing it day by day. All the data points this way. The feeling points this way. And they're backlash against that, it's Trump.
Yeah.
Trump,
right.
Trump, what did Trump speak to? People said, like, Trump spoke to the, you know, to the Rust Belt worker who was ignored. Trump spoke directly to white people who felt aggrieved at losing their sense of privilege.
Yeah.
In this country.
100%. 100%. It's a 100% reaction to an Obama presidency.
Yeah.
There's no way you can look at those 12 years in conjunction and think anything else.
Yeah.
And the way that they came in and the way that they changed things around and the vitriol they had for President Obama coming in and how much they wanted to change what he did just to make themselves feel like I showed that uppity.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Like, absolutely,
that's what
man.
I did. That's what I did. And there was a glee in which they did that. There was a glee in which they moved forward with that. And you're right. It's 100% white evangelical. That's what it is. It's white Christian, and that is what permeates this group. And you know, when you think about it, there's a lot of religious arguments back in the day for slavery. Right? There was a lot of religious arguments back in the day for segregation.
I mean, there's religious arguments in the Bible for slavery.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Like,
goes back.
That goes back.
But that's OG.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's the fucking prelude right there.
Right?
But seriously,
you
know, I'm talking about in this country, many people used religious arguments to continue the acts of slavery and to fight against the abolitionist movement.
The entire Jim Crow era, the failures that happened in through the Reconstruction era, the fight against the civil rights movement was in large part aided by people who purposefully read the Bible in such a way as to give themselves justification for their pre-existing racism.
100% what it is. Yeah. And I am happy that this guy spent his time talking about terrorists. I'm glad he spent his time saying the word terrorist over and over again.
That's what they are.
And you watch these fucking liars on television. Laura Ingraham was one of them. I don't know if you saw her this week where she was basically saying, "Oh, and the award for best acting goes to," and she was talking to about these guys.
Fuck that one. I mean, I hate that woman.
This is a woman who, you know, while it's people she don't like getting beat up by the police, is 100% behind, you know, and when it's people that she identifies with, that fuck the police. She's a fuck the police when it's people that she identifies
Man,
with.
Man, all these fucking people are like this, and this guy, Chris Hodges, he says, inexplicably, these guys were carrying, you know, the fucking blue line flag.
The thin blue line flag.
Yeah. At the same time that they were attacking the police.
Yeah.
There's no internal consistency. No. This is not, and it never was about a sense of ideals or policies or this is about the maintenance of power at any cost.
Yeah. Anti-Black Lives Matter is a racist. That's what it is. It's about racism.
Absolutely.
It's always about racism. It's always trying to attack the movement because it has black people in it.
Man, I sent you a story earlier this week that, like, or maybe it was even last week, but I read it, Cecil, and I was fucking seething. And I was seething because it was an examination of the various excuses, I guess, that were being given about why the January 6th terrorists did what they did. And they came up with every fucking thing in the book. Like that it was the first time they ever did something and they were caught up in a moment. And, you know, They're a good family man and all this stuff. And I read it and I was, my fucking blood was boiling because those same motherfuckers, those exact same motherfuckers who are like, look, my guy shouldn't be judged on the actions of his worst day. The fuck you think they think that about George Floyd?
Yeah.
You think they say the same thing about Trayvon Martin? You think they said the same thing about however many the name the fucking person of color that was fucking murdered in this country or thrown into jail unjustly. Yeah. And they fucking besmirch those people.
They find everything they can. They find, they dig up everything they can. Yep. They had a fucking, they took their dog off a lead in a park once, and that'll come up on Twitter.
These guys look so favorably on their own in-group, right?
Yeah.
Oh, and that, oh, don't judge me on my worst day. You know, that's the justice system.
Yeah.
The justice system judges you. It's not like you go to the judge ever, you know, hey, today I didn't break any laws, judge. Okay, well, that's one merit in your good point. When you get 100 of these, you can break a minor law.
Sure.
When you get 1,000 of them, you can break, you get a free felony at the fucking felony bank.
Yeah.
That's not how it works.
Yeah, no, if you're white, you get a free felony.
Right.
That's
how it works. No shit, right? It is actually how it works, you know. But that's kind of the fucking bullshit. And it is such a fucking transparent double standard. I read it and I was like, I can't fucking believe what I'm reading.
It's unreal, but it's a constant bit of hypocrisy.
Right.
And I'm glad that even though it's making the far right livid and they're upset now, but you know, in the future when they're crying crocodile tears because we're out there protesting and they're crying crocodile tears because somebody marched and the police got in the way and they got pushed back or whatever.
Right.
And they're going to cry crocodile tears. You're a bullshitter. You're
bullshit.
A fucking liar.
Absolute
you're
bullshit.
A liar.
Dear Paul, your time has expired, and I will allow witnesses who come before this committee to respond.
And you are implying that what we did was responsible for the deaths of individual. I totally resent that.
It could have been.
And if anybody is lying here, Senator, it is you.
This story comes from Right Wing Watch. We haven't had Dave Coach.
Doc Coach.
Not a coach. Dobenmeyer on the show in a long time. But he's saying that Dr. Fauci is an emissary of the devil sent to destroy Christians.
Huh.
So I actually, Cecil, before you read this, I want to give people a little bit of background because there's something in this article that I didn't know about Dave. So Dave is evidently a big believer in something called the Book of Giants, which is an apocryphal biblical book supposedly written by Prophet Enoch that purports to explain why God had to destroy the earth with Noah's flood. According to the Book of Giants, angels in rebellion against God had mated with human women, creating a race of giants known as the Nephilim, who were so wicked that God had no choice but to destroy the world.
Caliente.
This is a guy who believes in the historical existence of a race of half human,
half
angel,
the Nephilim.
Evil giants.
The Nephilim, yeah, absolutely, yeah. I have a Pornhub page dedicated to the Nephilim.
Okay,
Nephilim
we all sex. Do, but we don't. I mean, it's
by
fantasy.
By the way, send Ian your links to Nephilim sex. I'm sure he'll want
absolutely.
Them.
That's Ian at dissonancepod.com. Just, you know, fan art's appreciated.
Yeah, he loves angel Nephilim sex. He's a
it's
huge
great.
Fan.
You know,
yeah.
your fan fiction of it. If you want to narrate it, sound effects included. He'll love it.
That's... I just wanted to read how crazy that is. Here's the thing, though. Like, how much crazier is that than the regular Bible? Because it's not.
I know, but it's not. Because
like, there's like a fucking snake that's like, hey, bro, you want an apple? I mean, there's a talking donkey.
That
there's
is
fucking
true.
Pigs and fucking going crazy. There's locusts with armor.
There's a beast
with more horns than heads.
The Bible is
less
just.
Less horns than heads, sorry. Yeah.
They don't.
Yeah, they're not enough horns. They didn't go to the horns.
You got
store.
The guy, it's like a bee with a sword or whatever.
Exactly. It's a fucking tiny little. Armored locusts. Absolutely. 100%.
Holy shit. I mean, the Bible is fucking bonkers. But then when you're like, man, you know, the Bible, it's crazy.
Yeah.
But I'll take the thing that got kicked out of the Bible.
Right? There's some stuff that's apocryphal that they've from old timey times where you think, okay, so there's a bunch of fucking old bearded dudes being like, that's just too crazy.
Right, that's what I mean.
Get
it's
out
like,
here. That's just too crazy. Sorry,
like,
we can't have.
That's a bridge too far.
Yeah, man,
make them curse a fig tree.
We can't have the hot women fucking angels. Like, what the fuck kind of story is that? Oh, God. You know there's some old monk, though, drawing pictures of that,
oh,
dirty
yeah.
pictures of
that's
that.
That's where it all started. All right, so what if I was really big? Like,
What if I had a giant? I will say giantess porn seems like something that would be pretty cool. You know,
giantess porn.
Remember when Heath was talking about
this? I remember that.
Where he's talking about like
the forced perspective.
I think they do
forced
perspective to make it look right. Like the women are bigger than the guys.
Wait, I remember watching a documentary about
I thought you were going to say something else.
Spoke porn. No, it was really funny. It was like there's a whole thing where like people like hire a porn actress or actor or whatever is your taste. And they're like, I want this very specific, like bespoke
porn,
right? And so like one of the things that this person paid for was giantess. So this person, they forced perspective like a whole village and somebody like stomped around on the village like Godzilla and shit.
I love it. I love it.
That's somebody who's like jerking off to Mothra and is like, that's my jam.
That's someone whose pants are on their ankles and they're having a good time, right? They got a big smile on their face. You know what I mean?
They're having a ball.
They might have two. You know, who knows? Go to adamandeve.com and you can
get your giantess
ball.
Board.
You can get your giantess board. You get your jollies off.
Do what you want with your balls at adamandeve.com. Enter Gloria checkout.
Gloria checkout. All right. So I'm going to play Dave. This is Dave just fucking fuming about Giants. So here we go. And it's not the San Francisco Giants. It's different Giants. Here we go.
Friends, as it was in a day of Noah.
Why did he start so weird?
Friends!
Friends!
As it was in a day of Noah!
He starts so weird. Hold on. I got to go back. It just sounds so weird.
Friends, as it was in a day of Noah. So shall it be at the coming of Son of Man. And if Dr. Sherry Tenpenny was here, what would she tell us? That this jab is mixing and melting and working and screwing up your DNA.
Wait a minute. Already, Cecil, it's melting my DNA.
Melting your DNA, Tom. Yeah.
Like the fucking RoboCop guy in the fucking Toxic Sludge.
Like a hot day in an ice cream cone. Sure. I don't know. I don't know exactly what it's maybe. It could be melted cheese, like on a quesadilla or a tostada.
Oh, I want a quesadilla.
Right? Sounds good.
It does sound good.
Melty. Melty cheese on like a good pizza. Not a New York style one, but
okay,
a good pizza.
No, I got you. Yeah. We already knew where to exclude immediately.
So
in Detroit.
Melty. Melty could mean
melty,
a lot of things.
Melty DNA.
Yeah. Melty DNA. I think that's good.
One time I want to ask one of these people, like, tell me what you think DNA is.
I fucking want to just put them. I want to
Can
put
you
them
tell
on.
Tell me what you think DNA is.
I just
is.
Want them to be in a room without a phone.
Right.
And just look them in the face and tell me what DNA is. I want to do the same thing with the people who have objections to vaccines.
Yeah.
Look, be in a room without a phone, be in a room without another person you can look to. Just look me in the face and be like, what is wrong? What's wrong with the vaccine? What do you think the vaccine's going to do to you? What do you think? Because you know they're going to say some crazy shit.
Right.
You know that you're in for a fucking ride.
Yep. What do you think messenger RNA does?
What do you think that is?
Yeah. Do you know what RNA stands for?
Yeah.
No?
Yeah.
Maybe you ought to reconsider your vehemently held position.
Well, and this is one of the things that they do, and they do it in their Bible all the time where they pick and choose, right?
Right.
So they'll find something that they know that they can use as a weapon to try to convince you.
Right.
It's a rhetorical device to try to say something quickly to make it sound like they know what they're talking about, right? I know what I'm talking about. I'm going to be forceful and say what I'm going to use technical terms, even though DNA is a fucking ridiculously untechnical term.
At this point, it should be.
But, you know, he's going to try to say things that make you think that he knows what he's talking about. And then he's going to try to convince you otherwise. I remember getting into a conversation about somebody who didn't want to have the vaccine. And they said, well, yeah, it's for experimental use only or for emergency use only. And they thought that was the thing that got them to discard it, to say, well, I'm not going to use it because it's emergency use. Why would I use it if it's emergency use? And my reaction to that should be, well, yeah, of course. I mean, yeah, well, it's emergency use. Emergency use. Well, who wants some emergency use?
I would only use that in the middle of an emergency.
Well, I mean, if the vaccine doesn't come with a little hammer behind glass, why on earth would I use it? Also, people are dying. 600,000 people are dying. That's not an emergency.
Same thing that was going on before the
Hold on. Did somebody just fucking
somebody
boom
did
him?
Just
somebody
blurb in.
Somebody boomed him. Hold on a second. Like he just dropped a truth bomb on
melting
us. Hold on.
And working and screwing up your DNA. The same thing that was going on.
Somebody boomed him.
Who's got an off-screen boomer?
He's got an off-screen, like somebody who's on the side, like Triple H doing the thing where they go right around their groin.
Oh, the karate chop
to their groin where they're like, boom!
That's crotch what he shot. Did.
Just totally 100%.
Before the days of Noah. the exact same thing. And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be the coming of the Son of Man.
What could that even mean? He's so mad about it.
They always, there's so many innuendos in the coming of the Son of Man. There's no other way to say that. There's no other way to say the coming of the Son of Man. You know, and
I hope not.
They constantly do this where I always think, are there people in that audience that are like, he's coming.
Cecil, I will admit, every time I drive past a salon or a spa, it says like, facials, $49. I'm like, do I pay you for it?
Maybe you should. Tom's just wiping it out of his beard for a day afterwards. You got to use cold water, Tom. Cold water gets that out of beard.
What makes you think I want it out? You can't take my fucking beardsicle trophies.
Beardsicle?
Dr. Fauci. Amen, Dr. Amen. Fauci.
Oh, God, he does.
He does.
He has.
He's got an offstage boomer lackey.
He's got like a fucking hype man on the side over here. Hold on.
Noah, so shall it be the coming of the Son of Man. Dr.
Amen,
Fauci.
Coach.
Dr. Amen. Fauci is an emissary of the devil, folks. Not just the devil that you see on Halloween. Not just a guy who dressed up in a suit. He is an emissary of Beelzebub himself, sent to deceive and destroy the seed of Christ.
Okay, again.
God, he's so worked up.
Again, seed of Christ. Like, I can't hear that stuff.
I know.
I can't hear that stuff and not think, Jesus, do you fucking hear you?
Yeah, you're gross, dude. Like, you're... this is a pervy religion.
I wonder if the seed of Christ, if he shoots it, does it skip on water? It's like... pew, 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 pew. He can't do it in the shower stall because it's just bouncing all over. It's like a fucking... it's like a stray bullet in an action movie. It's just like... pew, 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 pew.
If you get impregnated with the seed of Christ, it's always twins because it's fruitful and multiplies.
Coach is so angry about all this. But again, this guy, he doesn't know what he's talking about.
No.
He's one of these fuckers who's got a platform, who has no idea what he's talking about, and he's scaring people away from the vet. Now, granted, I don't know how many fucking people watch this fucking guy, but, you know, this is not an uncommon thought.
No,
we hear this all the time where people are like, hey, man, this guy doesn't have any followers. Why do you play him? This isn't an uncommon thought. The idea, we talked earlier that a quarter of white Christians were not going to get the fuck, a quarter of white evangelicals were not going to get the fucking jab. So this is not an uncommon thought. Some of these people think exactly what he thinks.
Yeah, that it's going to melt your DNA. Like, if your DNA melts, you're dead immediately.
Yeah.
That's like
you're staring at the elephant foot in fucking Chernobyl.
Yes, exactly. Like if your DNA stops doing its DNA stuff, you're like, well, guess I'm in for multiple organ system failure pretty soon.
Sure. Yeah.
That's like fucking what? Wait, you wouldn't have 300 million people who've gotten a fucking jab. A billion people have gotten a shot globally at this point.
Wow.
Which is a drop in the fucking bucket. There's 7 billion of us. It's nothing. We're way behind what we need to be. But 48% of Americans are fully vaccinated. 48% of the total population, it's 328 million people that live in America. More than that have received a single dose. I think we've delivered something like 300 million doses in America. Nobody's melted yet. Nobody. People are fine.
That's the thing is, like, with these people who have this reservation against the vaccine, and then they're saying awful, vehement shit that is just terrible. Or they're talking about like how it's going to kill you or hurt you. And you're just like, point to the guy that this happened to. Just point in the crowd somewhere where this happened. You know? What the fuck?
Yep.
And the problem is that there's no proof necessary. They don't need it.
No, because the goal is not to be right. The goal is to make it scary, right? Yeah. The goal is, and I get why that works, because every moment of your life is a moment you're thinking about right now. And right now in your right now in our studio, I feel safe right now, right? I don't think right now in this moment that there's going to be a COVID to get me, right? And so if I can always misjudge my risk by sort of assessing risk on a too microscopic basis rather than assessing risk on a sort of global or timescale basis, right? I know that I have probably been exposed or will be exposed to COVID and Delta. And that's why I get vaccinated. But in this moment right here in this 5 minutes, I feel safe from COVID, right? So if they can get you to misjudge the risk by making you think that the vaccine, which I have to actively go get, even though it's relatively simple in most places, I have to actively go get this thing versus COVID, which, well, it's not here right now.
Yeah.
I don't think I've got it right now. Right now, I feel not sick. Right now, I feel safe.
Yeah.
Why am I going to do something that coach says or my pastor says or this other fucking idiot on Fox says is going to mess with my DNA? You know, I didn't do that well in science, but that sounds scary.
It sounds scary.
That sounds scary, and I don't feel sick right now.
Yeah.
And that's our mismanagement of how risk works. That's just part of the human
animal.
That's
how we do it. Yeah.
We're bad at managing risk.
Yeah.
We're constantly bad at managing risk. You know, I drive past near my house, Cecil. There's a great big inflatable sheep that's appeared over the last few days, and it has something like, it says like Matthew 24:2 or something. And then it says like, don't be a sheep. And it's an anti-mask, anti-vaccine. And it's huge. And like a bunch of fucking loonies have it on this like parcel of land. And, you know, on it is a banner that says 99% survival rate. And I thought, that's not great odds.
Yeah.
You just don't understand great. Like,
you don't understand odds. Like,
if I got in my car and there was a 1% chance that I was going to get in a fucking car accident and die, I'd be like, fuck my car. I'm not getting my, there's a 1% chance I'm going to die.
1% is,
dude, I went bungee jumping and it was safer than that.
Fucking A. And you know, the other thing too is we're in a giant fucking theater right now. And there's so many people screaming fire.
Yeah, man.
And there's they got megaphones and they're all screaming. You know, some of them have different messages. They might have a different message and they might have a different bent and they might have a different angle, but they're all screaming fire in some way.
Yep.
And we aren't able to do anything to stop it. All we get to do is watch them panic a group of already very panic prone people.
Yep.
And watch them not, you know, and in this case, watch them make them, watch them convince them about inaction. Make them inact, right? Make them immobile. Make them not do the thing that they should be doing. They are using this as a way to stop them from protecting themselves. And we're watching it happen. And I don't know how to fix it, right? I don't know what we can do besides, you know, like some really harsh sort of, you know, I don't know, authoritarian measures that would maybe slow down that information.
Yeah.
But it is disheartening to watch us just let these people scream, knowing that they're saying false, incorrect things, and then just let them do it.
You know what I think, and I was thinking about this week. I think that if after the end of the summer, if you demonstrably refuse to take the vaccine, I think your health insurance should not cover you if you get COVID. Yeah. I don't think you should lose your insurance. But I think your health insurance should not cover you for COVID-related illnesses if you chose not to get the vaccine. I think we need to get to a point where you just have to say, anyone can opt out, right? I'm opting out of the vaccine. Great. You're opting out of the vaccine. You get sick. That's entirely on you.
Yeah.
I think that would wake some fucking people up.
Especially with our medical system here in the country.
That'll wake some fucking people up.
It only works in America because every other civilized country, it doesn't matter.
But, yeah, and I don't know. Yeah. You know, I think life insurance companies should refuse to cover and drop coverage on anybody who does not get the vaccine. Why in the world would a life insurance company continue a policy? We need to do some things to make it real fucking painfully inconvenient. And I don't mean inconvenient like I can't go on my family vacation. We should have that too. But I mean inconvenient like I could lose everything.
Yeah.
I could go bankrupt.
Yeah. I think that
I could ruin my estate and my family inheritance.
Once they start with this, with it being passed as a, you know, in it's past that point of it being emergency use. Yeah. And they finally pass it through the FDA. Companies can 100% just say, yeah, you have to get vaccinated. There's plenty of jobs in this country you have to be vaccinated for the measles for. You have to prove it.
Yeah.
You know, you want to hang around kids in a daycare. I imagine most daycares would require you to be vaccinated for several different things. You can't just walk in and be unvaccinated around a bunch of people's
children. Unless it's a religious daycare.
Sure, right.
I mean, we know.
But of course, I'm saying
like problem.
I'm talking about responsible ones.
Right. Yeah.
You know,
I know. But I have to point out that word.
Absolutely. But you know, there is a thing that can make it very inconvenient for you.
Yeah.
And I think it should make it very inconvenient for you. I work in higher ed and they're making everybody get vaccinated. And if you come in and say no, I don't want to get vaccinated, they make you test like every single day. They're going to jam that fucking thing in your nose every fucking day. You're going to come in and they're going to fucking rapid test
and
you.
And I think they should make
every
you pay
fucking
for
day.
It.
Every fucking day you come in, sorry, we're going to have to rapid test you again today. We got to rapid test you again today. And they're going to do it. I think it might not be every day, might be every week or whatever, but still they have to rapid test them all the time. And I hope it fucking hurts. I hope it's uncomfortable every single day. And you finally go, fuck, this thing is fucking like poking on my fucking eyeball every day.
Yeah.
I'm just going to go get a shot. If somebody told me they were unvaccinated at my work, I wouldn't even speak to them again. I would be like, I'm never speaking to you again. You're an awful person.
I've been thinking about this and I really think I am at that place where if you are anti-vax at this point, I have a no quarter for bigots policy and have for a long time. I have the same thing for anti-vax, man.
It's
you're willing to put other people's lives at risk. You're a selfish fucking person.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%.
I do not watch TV. I don't watch truthers. I don't watch the internet. I do not really even read books.
So we read the second chapter of Demon Hunter World, Science and Hope.
Wait, we were supposed to read that?
You read it out loud.
And I still forgot it. No.
But you know, this chapter is really about the scientific method, how important the scientific method is, the importance of understanding that science is the best thing we have to understanding reality. Everything that we know, we understand correctly through science. There's other means to try to understand stuff, but he has great quotes in here, especially about religion, how, and I'll read one a little later, but essentially it's saying, look, you know, fucking other systems try to understand the world, but none are as accurate as science.
And like one of the biggest takeaways from this chapter, and one of the biggest things that I kept thinking about and coming back to as I was reading and kind of mulling it over, is science is the only system of thinking we have that has built-in error-correcting machinery,
right?
Yeah,
he touches on it a lot.
And, you know, when you think about other sort of disciplines that attempt to understand the world, and there's many, right? So there's religion, that's one.
Sure.
But, you know, philosophy is another attempt, right? And it's sort of the precursor to science in many ways, right? But nothing else takes an idea and then has a method for running it through the ringer, right? And then a predilection and a desire and a sort of glee for overturning really vaunted, beloved ideas. And one of the examples he gives is, you know, Einstein's theory of general relativity in some ways overturns Newtonian physics,
some of it,
right?
When things get weird.
Right, when these circumstances are at play, all of a sudden, these laws, these sort of laws of nature no longer apply. And if you are a scientist and you discover that I have a way to break general relativity, that's not a bad thing, right? And it's the only system of thinking I can imagine or that we have or that I'm aware of that not only encourages that, but rewards that. And it rewards it for one simple reason, because it always aims to get us closer to what's true.
Right.
It has no idea. Like, I love Einstein. He's a great guy. Fucking who cares?
Yeah, doesn't matter who the
what
person
gets
is.
Us closer to true.
Yeah.
That we need that, man. If we've ever needed something more than that, I can't imagine what it is. It's fucking vital. And I keep thinking too, how important was this back when your ability to interact with the world was limited to your 40 acres? Well, you know, if you got some shit wrong, not that big a deal, right? But now look at how much impact one person can have.
Sure.
Right? One human being right now, and we're in our second gilded age, one human being can have a massive impact, not just on their local 40 acres, but I mean, and it's not a stretch, on the world.
On the world, absolutely. Yeah.
We have a responsibility. Like that kicks the fucking stakes up.
Sure.
To getting reality.
Sure, sure. You know, one of the things that is true about science too, and science criticism, is that they also don't take no shit, right? So like you come in and say, well, I wanna upturn, you know, you're strutting in saying, I'm gonna upturn Einstein relativity. I'm gonna come in and do that. And they will fucking shut you down if you don't have the proof, right?
Right.
And people try this. There's a, you know, there's so many people out there that say Einstein got it wrong, and then they'll present something, and these are almost always people that are not, they're not the scientists, right? These are crackpots, right?
Yeah.
But they'll come in,
right?
And they'll be like, yeah, and they're like, no, you just don't understand the math, you just don't understand the science, you just don't understand it. That doesn't mean it's not true. It just means your understanding doesn't grasp it. And so, but there is, you know, it's entrenched, but it's not completely, it still is vulnerable, right? It's entrenched in the sense that it will stop all the people who don't have facts from overturning it. But if there is something that we discover, and there's always new discoveries, it could be overturned.
Well,
it could be changed.
That's great. That's a great point, because the ruthlessness of adherence to fact and adherence to data and adherence to observation and repetition is the thing that prevents science, unlike anything else, from falling prey to that cult of personality.
Exactly. Yeah.
Right.
There's no Trump of science.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can't come in and just claim something and make it so. It's
science has no gurus.
It doesn't.
Right.
Yeah. You know, it's got people that understand it well and people who communicate well. And I think, you know, Carl Sagan was certainly a science idol or something. You know, I guess I don't know what you'd call him, like a science personality or something. But, you know, he could be just as wrong as anybody else.
Sure.
I want to read one, and this is something we touched on beforehand, before we started talking about this, but I want to read this because this is very prescient. I have a foreboding in America in my children's or grandchildren's time. When the United States is a service and information economy, when nearly all the manufacturing industries have slipped away to other countries, when awesome technological powers are in the hands of the very few, and no one representing the public interest can even grasp the issues, when the people have lost the ability to set their own agendas or knowledgeably question those in authority, when, clutching our crystals and nervously consulting our horoscopes, our critical faculties in decline, unable to distinguish between what feels good and what's true, we slide, almost without noticing, back into superstition and darkness. How fucking prescient is that in 19? And you know, like, this is the birth of the internet, right? Like, so this book's coming out before the internet is really like,
it's not really
thing, right? It's, you know, the YouTube isn't created yet.
There's Google nothing ubiquitous yet.
I think starting at this point, but there's nothing like, I mean, you've got AOL chat rooms.
Right.
You got a few things here and there, but you know, I like to remember that, you know, the day the Twin Towers collapsed, I went to AOL to find out what happened.
Right.
So 2001, I'm still using AOL for crying out loud. So like, you've got to understand that there is a, you know, there's this feeling that he has back then, before any of this other stuff that, you know, the internet has spread this ignorance, even back then, he was cautious.
I read that both out loud and then listened to it.
Yeah.
And both times it absolutely gutted me.
Yeah. Man.
It fucking just ripped. It just fucking gutted me.
Yeah.
Because it's sort of one of those, like, I fucking told you so and you did it anyway.
Yep.
Like, we are a world that has been told not to do this. And like, we're locking our keys in the fucking car.
Yeah, we're watching it happen.
Yep.
Watching it happen. There's another one here. He says, we've arranged a global civilization in which most crucial elements profoundly depend on science and technology. We have also arranged things so that almost no one understands science and technology. This is a prescription for disaster. We might get away with it for a while, but sooner or later, this combustible mixture of ignorance and power is going to blow up in our faces, Donald Trump.
Yeah. we have no scientifically literate Congress people.
Right.
Or if we have, I mean, I don't want to say, maybe there's a handful.
Right.
But it is a,
they're putting
it is
fucking
a
snowballs into the fucking, they're talking about snowballs on the floor. They're talking about internet's our big truck. They don't fucking know anything.
They don't know
anything.
What's happening.
Yeah.
The people who make all the decisions, they either know a tremendous amount and leverage their knowledge against the rest of us, right? Mega billionaires, you know, or the lawmakers.
Yeah.
Who know nothing.
Sure.
They know nothing.
Sure. There's another one. I got to read this other one. I love this one. Science invites us to let the facts in even when they don't conform to our preconceptions. When we are self-indulgent and uncritical, when we confuse hope and facts, we slide into pseudoscience and superstition. That's how we fail if we don't examine ourselves.
You know, it also, as you're talking, we have to understand too the difference between facts and opinion.
Right.
And some things, you know, it is not an opinion Anything that can be tested scientifically has nothing to do with an opinion.
Sure.
You're not mistaken. You're just wrong.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. And science is the way to know whether you're right or wrong.
Yes.
And science is the way, really, I mean, when you get into a conversation, I mean, could anything draw this into sharper contrast than the pandemic? Right.
Right. Right.
You know, I was on a call today, Cecil, and a couple of people on the call today said, God, I'm just so done with masks in this pandemic. And I thought, what does that even mean?
Yeah. I mean, you can be done with it, but you're not going to stop doing it. Are you stupid?
Right. Well, I mean, they kind of want to, right? Because they are letting their hopes, right, from that Carl Sagan quote, right? They are letting their hopes get in the way of the facts.
Yes.
What they want to be true is clouding their ability to see what is actually true.
Sure.
The data right now could not be more clear, right? And their ability to see and respond to data is absolutely clouded by their desire for a thing to be true, for their hope for something to be true.
They want it to be true.
And that's so human.
Yeah.
That's so human. And the thing that we have, the method that we have to guard ourselves against, to be frank, our own humanity, is the inhumanity and ruthlessness of science.
Yeah. And the confirmation bias is something that's, it can bite us all, right? It can bite us all. And you can certainly go out there and seek every single little study out there that matches your particular perspective and push away the other studies that chip away at the idea that you have. And I've seen it happen constantly. And I've seen people dig their feet in and fight. But, you know, one of the things is like you were saying, if there's nothing there, it's not even that it's confirmation bias anymore. It's just bias, right? It's like you don't have anything that's supporting this. You just don't like vaccines. You just, something in your gut tells you you don't want to get this thing.
Yep.
That's not anything. That's your stupid fucking gut, man. Yep. That's not anything. And you can't make decisions based on whim.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. If the question is which Ben and Jerry's flavor is best, right? Yeah. Because that can never be tested.
Sure.
That's an opinion issue, right? Yeah. And that might be fun to bandy about. But, you know, if the question is, do masks help stop the spread of a respiratory virus, then we can run a test.
Yeah.
And then
we have.
Rely. Yeah, we have. And we can rely upon that test and repeat it. We can run it through the ringer, right? Anything that can fit in that machine, we should fit in that machine.
Yeah.
If you can put it in the big machine of science, then it is not an opinion question.
Yeah.
And we have to learn to make that differentiation in ourselves and realize, look, all opinions are equal. Like if you tell me like you like Cherry Garcia better than Chubby Hubby.
Yeah, fine.
Like that is a one-to-one ratio,
there's
right?
There's nothing, you can't be wrong about that.
Right. And also Cherry Garcia is best.
It's better.
But it just is.
It just is.
But okay, we could put that through the machine. Yeah, but I should have picked something different.
But pick something else. Pick something with a less obvious answer next time, Tom.
But if you can fucking science fair this shit, then that's not an opinion.
Right.
And that's not democratic anymore, right? This isn't up for a fucking vote.
Yeah. So I want to talk about this last quote. The story, the chapter itself, like I said, is sort of this love affair. It's a love note to science. Most of this, and most of this book will be.
Yeah.
And there's a piece in here where he talks about spirituality that I absolutely love, and I want to read it. Science is not only compatible with spirituality, it is a profound source of spirituality. When we recognize our place in an immensity of light years and the passages of ages, when we grasp the intricacy, beauty, and subtlety of life, then that soaring feeling, that sense of elation and humility combined, is purely spiritual. So are our emotions in the presence of great art or music and literature. The notion that science and spirituality are somehow mutually exclusive does a disservice to both. And I want to make sure I mention here that he's not talking about non-overlapping magisteria.
Yep.
The idea that
science
belongs in one place and religion belongs in the other. He's not talking about that. He's talking about something else. He's talking about the feeling that people get when they finally understand something, when they finally know something. There's a bit of tape from Richard Feynman. Richard Feynman was a person who was, he was a personality, a science personality, before Carl Sagan was, like years before Carl Sagan was. And he was recorded on one of these television shows where they were interviewing him, and he had said something like, I know how hard it is to know something. A lot of people don't know how hard it is to know something, but I understand the rigor and the difficulty to know something. There's a spirituality in that, right? There's a opening of yourself to realizing that you finally know something.
You know, science provides us so many opportunities for wonder and awe.
Yeah. And discovery. Yeah.
What else? I mean, if you can't look at the findings of science and not even as a non-scientist, sure, right? And just look at the general findings of science, knowing I don't know how to do that work. If you can't find wonder and awe in there,
yeah,
that's a moment to reflect on why.
Yeah.
Because there is so much to be had.
Sure.
Without a sense of religiosity, one of the criticisms that is sometimes leveled is, you know, don't you miss that? Don't you miss that element of connection, or interconnectedness? Yeah. And I will say that sometimes I do wonder about or miss the social connection that some people seem to have.
Sure, yeah.
But I have no less sense of wonder or awe.
Right.
I would put my sense of wonder and awe against anybody with their conception of heaven and hell.
Sure, absolutely.
Which seems so much smaller.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I feel the same way when I hear about anything there's so many different science stories that really genuinely give me chills, right?
Yeah.
You know, Carl Sagan does this beautiful, and it's not in this book, but he does this beautiful little essay on the pale blue dot. I get chills every time I hear it. It's absolutely stunning and beautiful. And it's when Voyager went away, when Voyager finally left the solar system, it turned back one last time. There was a fight whether or not they were going to turn it around.
Right, I remember
this. They finally turn it around and they take one photo of our solar system, of the Earth and the sun. And the sun looks like a star. It's tiny. The Earth is literally one pixel. And they have to point to it with a fucking giant arrow.
I remember this.
And it's just this giant, vast sea of blackness and one pixel. And he talks about, you know, it's a beautiful quote. I'm not even going to try to ad lib it, right? Because it's just too beautiful. Go look it up. Pale blue dot quote, Carl Sagan. It's absolutely stunning. But he, you know, that is one of those things. Every time I hear it, I get chills because it's amazing.
Right.
And that, I think, is, you know, that's what I think he's getting at when he talks about things like that. You know, like putting yourself into perspective. You know, what is, you know, spirituality if it's an understanding and perspective?
Right.
And so that's what it centers you, you know?
Yeah, it does.
Yeah, and
it does. And it offers a sense of fucking perspective.
Perspective.
Man.
Yeah. So next time we are going to be reading chapter 3, The Man in the Moon and the Face on Mars. So if you haven't bought the book yet, I know people are talking about whether you could buy it. There's plenty of ways you could get this book. You can buy it from, like, I think Barnes and Noble and other places. You can get on Kindle. You can get on Audible. There's plenty of ways to get it. Join us for the next chapter. So we want to thank our patrons. Of course, we want to thank all our patrons. We want to thank our newest patrons, George, Degenerate Doggerel, Joseph, Mike, Michael, Kier, Quantum Soul Juicer, Mundor Q, Caramia. Up Their Pledges, Napoleon Blown Apart.
Napoleon Blown Apart is amazing.
Which is a genuinely amazing name.
I think Caramia, I think, I'm hoping that's from Adam's family.
Okay. Yeah.
I think that's what that's
maybe,
from.
Maybe. Yeah. Yeah. So thanks so much for your generous donations. We really do truly appreciate it. We try to give patrons a lot of extras.
Yeah.
Tom writes letters to his boys, and these are heartfelt letters that are written from a father's perspective to his boys. And they're really wonderful. And they're really great little pieces of advice that he's giving to his children. And he's writing them in a blog and he's reading them and he's passing them out to patrons. And they're really great. They're really great little short bits of audio that we're just giving to patrons.
Yep.
Tom had taken a little bit of time off because we have a special project that we're working on, but Tom started recording them again. So patrons are getting them, and patrons are getting them in their podcast feed. Patrons are also getting Demon Haunted World. Tom's reading that in our podcast feed. So patrons get a little extra. We also put the live stream. Every week we do a live stream, 9 p.m. Central, and that goes into the patron audio feed. So they get that as well. So go to Patreon and become a patron. Got a bunch of messages about Demon Haunted World. We're going to hopefully encourage a little more discussion on Patreon. We're going to create, I think next week, we're going to try to create a post so people can post their their reactions to the chapter. And we're going to put that up a little early so Tom and I can actually read it before we do our book review next time. So patrons, look out for that thread coming up on, you know, maybe next Wednesday or Thursday. But we got a bunch of messages about Demon Haunted World. Some really great stuff. We read them all and we'll start to incorporate them next week. I did want to mention though, that a lot of people are saying how to get it. So it's available on Audible. That's one way to get it. But we got a message from Reva, and Reva says, you know, you missed one really obvious way. Go to the library.
Yeah, it's good. That's a great point.
It's a great point. You can go to the library. Lots of, you know, every library is going to have it. And there's plenty of, I'm sure there's plenty of libraries around you. You can go to one or two or three of them, and I'm sure nobody's going to get it. So you can easily check it out for a while.
And most libraries, if your library doesn't have it, most libraries have interlibrary loan.
Yeah.
So you can request it. They'll have it shipped to your library. Just give you a call when it's in. It's great.
Don't some libraries have Kindle collections too?
They do. You can. I've done that. There's an app you can download from many phones, depending on what system your library is in. You can get audiobooks that way. You can get eBooks that way.
Yeah.
Libraries have an insane amount of resources that like, kind of nobody uses, and I don't know why.
Yeah, and there are tons of them. So yeah, absolutely. Audible also has it. Tom is reading it for patrons. And then there also are plenty of ways you can get it online. So we said that it wasn't in print because it's hard to get on Amazon, but that doesn't necessarily mean it's not in print. It looked like somebody said sent from Barnes and Nobles this week has it. For new copies are available. I don't know if they just
have to go
like,
in a time machine to get to a Barnes
back
and Noble?
Time, Tom. To Barnes and Noble when they were a thing. There are still like three or four of them. There's one down the street, actually.
I remember the first time I went to a Barnes and Noble, Cecil, and they have chairs at Barnes and Noble. And I was like, wow, you could just sit here and read the books.
It's amazing, isn't it?
And I was blown away.
Blown away by that.
And there was one like walking distance from the college I went to. And I would go and sit in those chairs and nap.
Yeah.
All the time. I'm going to go take a Barnes & Noble's nap. Yeah. Just go take
That's
a nap.
Awesome. Smell Did the coffee from Starbucks and just crash
it's
out.
It's a great place to nap in school.
I will say this too. Like, what a cool idea for a store. I know that sort of whole idea just went the way of the dodo. Yeah. It's gone
I loved
now.
It.
But I really enjoyed it. I thought it was a really great atmosphere. And there's one nearby. So they do have it. And then, you know, I'm sure you can find it different places. You can buy it used. There's plenty of places to get this book. It's a very popular book, and I'm sure you'll find a way to get it if you want to participate with us. It's a worthwhile book to read. We're two chapters in right now, and we think it is absolutely worthwhile to read.
Yep.
This is from JJ, and JJ sent this message, and they're basically saying, look, QAnon is Christianity. It's linked to Christianity. It's just as crazy. It's got the same sort of weird prophetic stuff that's happening in it. And here's the thing. All this stuff rhymes. All of it.
Yep.
Everything is connected. I feel like that kid from fucking Always Sunny, but it's 100% true. This is connected. Christianity is connected to QAnon. It plays on the same exact tropes and it plays on the same exact logical fallacies and faults in human understanding. It does it. They do it all. Every single one of these pseudosciences, every single one of these conspiracy theories, they all play on the same thing. They try to go after your confirmation bias. They try to make you feel good. They try to make you feel like a hero. They try to make you feel like you're worthwhile and that you are the one that's protecting the world. Christianity does this all the time. QAnon does this. It all plays into the same thing.
Yep. It's a different skin over the same shit.
Yep.
Every time.
100%. So we got a message from Dee, and Dee says, you know, I'm listening to this conspiracy theory episode, and I wonder, you know, why don't the liberals do the same thing with the QAnon bozos are doing? Start their own conspiracy that is actually reality. Leak stuff that makes it seem like all this stuff is happening, but it's really just leaking reality. And I think one of the things that you're going to do, and I don't know how true this is, and this is just my opinion, but I think maybe if you trivialize reality, that's going to be a detriment more than a benefit.
Yeah, I think... more than trying to play the conspiracy game, even using reality, but sort of leaking it out in this sort of like dribs and drabs way, we need to just start calling people on their shit out loud. That's what needs that. We need to insist upon reality.
And I think one of the things that we have to do is change our education system in this country and stop people that are backward thinking from controlling it.
Absolutely.
That is 100% where we need to start. You need to start young and you need to teach young children the wonder of the world, the wonder of reality, the wonder of thinking, and the wonder of critical thought.
Yep.
We want to thank Fred for sending in beer that we drank on stream tonight. You catch our streams.
Thank you, Fred.
9 p.m. Central, and we drank a wonderful bottle of beer from Primitive. That was absolutely wonderful. Beautiful, sour, delicious beer. Thank you, Fred, for sending it. And he sent it as a gift for Tom coming back to the studio, but it took a while to get here. And we want to thank Fred on the air specifically for sending it in. Really wonderful gift.
Honestly, Fred, this is outstanding. And this Primitive Brewing Company is going on my list.
100%. 100%.
They are awesome.
That's money. That's awesome absolute beer. Money.
Yep.
Tom, so we got a message. This is about the Freedom Phone, but Tommy, we wanted to read this because it's written very well.
This is so great. He says, without further delay, I present to you none other than your good friend from Crappy Christian Films, Kevin Sorbo. He's made, shall we call it, a Herculean effort.
Clever. Terribly clever.
On his Twitter to advertise the Freedom Phone, in keeping with this week's episode on QAnon, terrified boomers and right-wingers are posting that they're buying it.
Man, fuck, they are. And you know, like, it's amazing, though. It's a grift. It's an amazing grift.
Total
it's
grift.
A smart grift. Got a message from Heath's Empty Scotch Bottles on Patreon, and they said, back when I would drive through Kentucky and Tennessee regularly, there was QAnon billboards along the highway, professionally made real advertisement dollar billboards along the interstate.
Wow.
So people have money to spend.
Dough on this.
People have money to spend on Q. Got a message from Stu, and he says, if the feds had charged people for the vaccine, more people would have gotten it, right? And I don't know. I don't know if that's true, but I think it's a funny joke.
Funny joke, though.
Funny joke, yeah. But I don't think so.
Maybe we don't value what we don't pay for here in America.
You're right. You're right. I don't think so. I think 100%. You
have to make it free.
The people that are on the margins in this country would have never. And then those are the working people. Those are the people who are most likely to get it. They wouldn't have had an opportunity.
And Biden today suggested using some of the pandemic relief funds to give everybody $100 to take the vaccine.
Yeah, man. Do it.
Just whatever it fucking takes.
Do it. So we got a message. This is from Kim. She says, I just took a picture in the supermarket in Montreal today. Made you think of you guys. Canadians love ketchup flavored things. And she took a picture of ketchup flavored Cheetos, ketchup flavored fucking Doritos.
Seriously, I'm feel gagging.
Ketchup flavored Crispers, whatever that is. Oh. And mini ketchup. It looks like rice cakes, Tom.
Oh my God.
God damn it, Tom.
No, I would rather light my tongue on fire.
What the fuck is wrong with you with eating this ketchup? We ate some of these fucking ketchup chips.
Horrid.
They were so bad. Like,
honestly.
Okay, so barbecue chips are normally sweet, a little sweet, but they have that sort of little bit of spicy in there and whatever. Yep. And I'm not a huge fan of barbecue chips, but I could choke a few down. I could eat a few barbecue chips. These I could not even eat. I ate one and I was like, that's an unpleasant food.
They're just a sweet vinegar.
The sweet and weird and terrible. I just fucking
everything
awful.
About him was horrible.
Fucking awful. Literally. That was Jay who sent him in, and I will never forgive you, Jay. Yeah.
It's shudderingly bad.
And anybody who sends, don't even send your message in because you're wrong. Just don't send it in. Just stop yourself. I know you're getting ready to type this out. I know you're psyching yourself out at your computer. No. You're wrong. Just admit you're wrong and stop. Just stop. Take a deep breath. Go eat your ketchup chips and don't send the message.
Ketchup is for hamburgers and French fries.
That's it.
That's it.
That's it.
That's the only reason the ketchup is.
I can't think of another
reason.
What
else would you use ketchup for?
I cannot think for another reason for it. I literally can't think of one.
That's it.
You might add a little bit to mayonnaise and relish to make Thousand Island.
Yeah, okay.
Like it could be a tiny bit of an ingredient in something else.
Yeah. But
on its own, like that's
to
the only
dip
two
something.
That's literally the only two reasons. No.
It's for fries.
We got an image from Seth and he sent in a message and it's really
funny.
It's really funny. We're going to post it on this week's show notes. It's called Staying Alive is what he called it, Ian. So you can post that one. So that is going to wrap it up for this week. Come check us out on our live streams, 9 p.m. Central, Twitch, YouTube, Facebook. We have a lot of fun on those live streams and you're going to want to check it out. This week we watched hippos shitting. And so I mean like look, you cannot get quality
That's
content. You can't get quality content like that everywhere, guys. You can only get that through Cognitive Dissonance. So thanks so much for listening. We're going to leave you like we always do with the Skeptic's Creed.
Credulity is not a virtue. It's fortune cookie cutter, mommy issue, hypno Babylon bullshit. couched in scientician, double bubble, toil and trouble, pseudo quasi alternative, acupunctuating, pressurized, stereogram, pyramidal, free energy, healing, water, downward spiral, brain dead pan, sales pitch, late night info docutainment. Leo, Pisces, cancer cures, detox, reflex, foot massage, death and towers, tarot cards, psychic healing, crystal balls, Bigfoot, Yeti, aliens, churches, mosques, and synagogues, temples, dragons, giant worms, Atlantis, dolphins, truthers, birthers, witches, wizards, vaccine nuts, shaman healers, evangelists, conspiracy, doublespeak, stigmata, nonsense. Expose your signs. Thrust your hands, bloody, evidential, conclusive. Doubt even this.
The opinions and information provided on this podcast are intended for entertainment purposes only. All opinions are solely that of Glory Hole Studios, LLC. Cognitive Dissonance makes no representations as to accuracy, completeness, currentness, suitability, or validity of any information, and will not be liable for any errors, damages, or butthurt arising from consumption. All information is provided on an as-is basis. No refunds. Produced in association with the local Dairy Council and viewers like you.